Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new WinApp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 333 for Christmas Day 2011, our holiday special. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. And by Ford, featuring Wi-Fi connectivity with available sync and My Ford Touch. Now your car could be a Wi-Fi hotspot. Check it out in the new 2012 Ford Focus and at ford.com/technology. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 30% off your new account for 3 months, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIT. Well, happy holidays, everybody. Welcome once again to something we've done now 3 years, maybe 4 in a row. I've lost count. Our annual TWIT holiday special. We want to break format, get out of the whole news thing, and just talk festive occasions. Tom Merritt is here also. This is the first time, I love the fireplace, the first time we've ever used this set, and it's just really beautiful decorations.
It's a little, I'm not feeling the warmth.
Well, it's a studio, we didn't want to get, I like the Jim Beam bottle in the foreground. That's nice.
It's less empty than it looks.
Now, once again, coming back as before. We've got our great friends, first Paul and Storm, who are on the top row. There we go. That's Paul. There's Storm. Hi. There we go. Look at that. We're gonna put you all in like a Hollywood Squares thing this time, which is kind of fun. Jonathan Colton on the left there. And in the lower right-hand corner, the eccentric millionaire himself, Mr.
Billionaire.
John. Billionaire.
Billionaire.
No. Millionaire. No,
just millions, I believe.
Yeah. It's called in the center square.
John Hodgman to block.
I need to put on a Paul Lind mascot.
I thought that was your Shadow Stevens.
So it's good to have you once again. If you don't mind, I'm going to put on my slippers because I think we want to be relaxed here and enjoy. These were brought to me from Holland. These are wooden shoe slippers.
They're not wood.
But no, well, they're slippers. They're comfy.
Yeah.
They look like they're made from Pikachus.
They are.
I think they're made from Big Bird.
They're as soft as peeps, and they're just very comfortable. So, happy holidays, you guys. You guys were all together on a boat, weren't you, this year?
Yes, and we will be again soon.
The Joco Indeed. Cruise Crazy number 2 is when, in January?
February 19th through the 26th.
Ah, after Valentine's Day.
So the late January, the one called February.
late January, extremely late January. Yes.
So tell us about that from last year. How did it go? Was it fun?
It was pretty much an unmitigated disaster.
Was it the Poseidon Adventure number 2?
No, it was pretty great, actually. It was the first one we'd ever done, so we didn't know how things were going to go. But I don't know. Our crowd is just such a fun bunch of people. They, we planned a bunch of stuff, and then they planned a bunch more stuff, and they made it a lot more fun. It was just a blast. I mean, you're on a cruise ship. You can't really go wrong when you're on a cruise ship, even if you didn't do anything on a cruise ship, which is kind of what you're supposed to do on a cruise ship. You would have a great time.
That was Twitter's business plan. We planned a bunch of stuff, and then they planned a bunch more stuff.
Well, exactly. That's the internet way.
Yeah, it is. You never know what your users are going to do. So there's still room on the February cruise. You're going to be on the Westerdam, which I've been on. It's a very nice boat. Really nice boat.
May I just jump in for a second?
Yes, Mr. Hodgman.
Well, you know, Jonathan Colton and I have been friends for a long time.
Sorry.
And so I don't mean to criticize him in any way.
Yes.
But he just did a very terrible job selling this cruise.
I know.
Right. Here's the thing. This is his business enterprise.
Yeah.
He is the only one who makes money off of this thing.
Yeah.
I'm paying money to go on it, okay?
Yeah.
Now, partly that's because I'm a deranged millionaire and I can afford to do that. But it's also because I want to be there. And you do too, Internet. No, it's really, I went into that thing with a lot of skepticism, a lot of concerns.
How is this better than what I did?
Wait for the other Dutch slipper to fall.
I came out of this with slightly fewer misconceptions and trepidations.
Were you worried that, like, for instance, the boat would sink? Was that one of the issues?
No. I believe in science. I was concerned because I had read the David Foster Wallace piece in Harper's years ago, in which David Foster Wallace said riding on a cruise ship is depressing.
He killed himself, I think, right?
Well, I think it may have been the case that he was depressed while he was on the boat.
Right.
Also,
because the ship itself could go either way.
Yeah. He described it as an act of disgusting, gross consumerism that filled him with ennui. And because I was in my 20s at the time that I read this article, I presumed it would also fill me with horrible ennui. But it turns out, if you're in your 30s and you don't care anymore about anything,
there's not much ennui left.
You have no ideals left. It's actually fun to drink a martini at 10 a.m. Poolside next to a frozen dolphin ice sculpture. And then I was concerned also that as much as I love Jonathan's music and as much as I adore his fans from afar, I was concerned that we were all going to be consumed alive by Code Monkey fans. Mm. But they couldn't have been the nicer people, honestly. And, of course, I was obviously concerned because Paul and Storm were going to be there. But they were great, too.
They weren't so bad.
And the feeling on the boat, it was really one of the most remarkable weeks that I've ever experienced. To the point where now I'm not just telling you, Internet. I'm going around to legitimate famous people that I know and actual performers and telling them you should pay money to come on this boat and experience this because it's a lot of fun.
Do you think having Paul and Storm soaked up a lot of the ennui?
They were like ennui sponges.
Ennui magnets.
Ennui sponges, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
We laid down a base of ennui that sort of muted everyone else's.
So, yes. So, you know what? It's February 19th through the 26th, and it's on my consumer season gift guide, to be sure. I think whatever amount of money you spend to get on this thing, you're going to have the time of your life. It is really a good time. And the performers who are on this, you got Jonathan Colton with his amazing new album, Artificial Heart. You got Paul and Storm. You've got John Roderick of the Long Winters, the famous comedian Paul F. Tompkins, MC Front a Lot.
Not a little.
Front not a little.
A lot. Yeah.
Will Wheaton is going to be there.
Yes.
For heaven's sakes, it's just going to be, and lots more to come. And if you're curious, who else could be on this boat? It's a big boat. The Westerdam is a beautiful boat. And so I think you should go to the website, check it out, count your pennies, cash in your gift cards, and go on this thing.
JoeCoCruiseCrazy.com. Now, is there entertainment aboard, or is it is it solid ennui?
No,
there's a ton of entertainment. There's
great performers that I talked about. None of us are going to do anything on the boat.
They pretty much stay in their cabins.
No, I went on the Giants cruise. I went on a cruise with the San Francisco Giants when they won the pennant in 1989, and that's what they did. They stayed in their cabin. We knew they were on the boat, but that's all we really knew.
Did you expect them to play a game or
what, Kevin? No, something come out. Kevin Mitchell came out once. And he was a very large man, former convict. You know, he's lots of tattoos and big. He got in the hot tub. All the water came out. And that was it. And that was like the event of the whole cruise.
That was the highlight of the cruise. Huh?
So you guys come out of your cabins.
That will happen on this boat as well.
Oh, okay.
But more than that.
You have Kevin Mitchell? That's great.
but he's not getting a cabin. He's forced to sleep on the Lido deck.
Now, John, you're an eccentric millionaire. You can afford to do something like this. What about the average person in the audience? Is this going to be beyond their means?
Well, I mean, look, it's Jonathan. I don't want to speak about numbers here because
it's gauche. Yeah, I know.
I think Jonathan, you correct me if I'm wrong. A human could go on this boat for a week at a basic level cabin, which means to say it's underwater.
Well, it's in the boat, though. It's not outside underwater. You're in the boat.
It's not on the sidecar,
right?
For example, you're not being dragged along on a Zodiac.
It's not a submersible. Yeah.
You're on the at a basic level cabin, a week's worth of entertainment and a week's worth of food and non-alcoholic drink included in your price. Could you get that for under $1,000, Jonathan?
You could get it for just under $1,000. That's right. It's a pretty good deal for a week-long vacation with all food included. All food. Plus, and, you know, it's not restaurants. You could call them. This is the craziest thing. This is the awesome thing about the cruise ship. Any time of day, you call them up and you say, I would like a club sandwich and a plate of cookies delivered to my room. And somebody arrives.
I want a club sandwich and a plate of cookies.
That's exactly right. No matter how drunk you are or what time it is.
Yeah.
So is Sam Kinison on the boat, or is that just...
I know. it's Bobcat Goldthwait, actually.
That sounded like Goldthwait. It sounded like Bobcat.
That was
Goldthwait.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Wow. Well,
yeah, all room services included. It's a weeks-long vacation. And if you get a friend to go with you, Jonathan, don't they get a deal on the cabin? If you're sharing a cabin with a friend, it averages out a little bit less than that per person, right?
No.
Right. So you see, it's a little...
Such a salesman. Such a good salesman.
If you have three or four people, yes, it is true. If you have three or four people, there is a savings to be had.
Although we should mention that there are only double cabins left in our inventory.
All right. Thank you. Thank you from the back office. Appreciate that.
This is going to basically be...
Also Norwalk virus.
That's really. All right.
How much would you normally pay for Legionnaire's disease on land?
All the hand sanitizer you can use, that's complimentary, right? They include that.
If you're not a member of the American Legion, it can be quite expensive.
I did find that was one thing, and I know Holland America, I've been on many Holland America cruises, they really love the hand sanitizer, so much so that when you go, this is not going to help sell it either, but when you go into the dining room, there's a very nice Filipino guy standing there with am I wrong? You tell me, guys, you've been there, and he's got a large kind of amorphous bag. It could be a giant breast implant, it's hard to say, but there's a spout on it. And he has it under his arm, and you come in, and you hold out your hands, and he goes, and that's hand sanitizer, and you go,
it's like a bagpipe.
It's like bagpipes.
Purell bagpipes.
Am I wrong? Is that not wrong?
Actually, Leo, Storm and I were on the boat just last week, and in fact, what?
Mm-hmm. First of all, why were you on it last week?
I just heard about this.
Let me make sure that it was going to be a quality experience. You can't just hold a cruise and take it on faith. And indeed, the guys with the hand sanitizer.
Wait, well, let me explain.
I just want this to be out there now. Are you guys went on the boat?
The boat. Yes.
A Caribbean cruise. For $0, euros, just to check out.
Correct.
Well, here, what they do is, for a group such as ours, they provide what is called a site inspection, which involves, in this case, four of us to go on the boat and follow the same exact itinerary and pretend to work for a week.
Well, that's four of you right there, right? That worked out.
Who went?
Storm and myself. Our stage manager Liz and my wife.
Oh,
Liz, huh?
Liz, yes,
Liz. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Look, I love your wife absolutely.
Without reservation.
In fact, you had a great time.
But did they still have the bagpipe or sanitizer?
They now have a big plastic container that honestly he keeps wrapped in a towel like a small baby.
Oh, that's good.
But yes, there's still a spout on the end of it that he dispenses lovingly into your outstretched hands.
But they're jolly, and it's really kind of neat because the cruise staff, despite the fact that they're stacked like kindling below decks most of the time, are really very happy and festive, and I think they enjoy their jobs.
No ennui.
No ennui there.
Well, it's because of their all-night Irish dance music parties that they have.
That's right. Hell yeah. So,
all the sex having in cars.
So there are seats left still for this jaunt?
Seats?
Berths? Is that what they call them?
They're only seats.
Seats are left.
It's not like a train where you have to pay more if you want to sleep. You could just go on the cruise in a chair like this, and it would recline.
Yeah. There are four hammocks left. Yeah.
Okay.
But you'll be having too much fun to sleep.
That's right.
The reality is that I had a very nice cabin last year with a beautiful view of the ocean, but I spent 2 seconds in it the entire time.
Cabin doesn't matter.
Too much fun.
No.
Drinking martinis and playing Scrabble and listening to funny jokes told by people that I didn't know and listening to beautiful music played by people that I did know. It was the greatest.
They do some wonderful things. They do.
I'm taking a loss on this, and I am still talking.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. I do this at least yearly. I go on a geek cruise. The same group puts it together, that puts yours together. Neil Bauman and his wonderful company. And they these are great fun. And they have, I think this, I remember this also, they have a midnight buffet, do they not? People have eaten already 7 or 8 meals through the day. Every 15 or 17 minutes, they feed you. And nevertheless, for some reason, at midnight, they're starving. And they have a midnight buffet that they lay out. Just beautiful ice sculpture and stuff. And people like Buffalo come running in and trample it all.
No extra charge, right?
There's no extra charge for that. So
to be fair, it's a cruise, so they're very old Buffalo.
you can easily overpower them. It's not hard.
I know for a fact that the people who go on your cruise are young and vibrant and healthful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to destroy that stereotype right now. There were some elderly people on the cruise, but in all, I felt every cliche that I understood about a cruise was destroyed, was sunk, shall we say.
So,
lots of chic young European people on this thing.
Yeah, I don't know where they came from. They were, really? But there were a lot of
Europe. That's where I learned. That's where I learned to wear a little neckerchief like this.
They were fetching beauties.
Is that? I'm just curious. Is that what they call a soul patch down there, or did the marker leak?
It's a sub stash.
Okay.
Is it to code?
A demi stash.
A subordinate stash.
Subordinate stash. John is the deranged millionaire who is the author of now 3 volumes of books what do you call this trilogy? The everything you need
complete
to know.
Complete world knowledge.
Trilogy.
Yeah. Well, now it is. Now that I've written 3 books, it is now finally complete.
And the first, The Areas of My Expertise, is on Audible. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Is this,
along with my friend Jonathan Colton.
He performs.
He performs the throughout, as is the second book, which was called More Information Than You Require.
Wonderful and, performance there.
And the third will be as well.
That was my question.
Yes. Believe me, lots of people are asking. You know, so the books, if there are people out there who don't have never read a word that I've written, these are books of fake trivia. They're made up facts. So like the old book of lists where it would give a list of the 9 U.S. presidents who loved to smoke cigars, mine is the 9 U.S. presidents who had hooks for hands and the stories behind them. and the 3 books are separate. You can read them together or you can read them individually. And the third, That Is All, is the one that has just been published. And as with all of them, I will eventually get together, I hope, with my friend Jonathan Colton and maybe even my friends Paul and Storm and some other special guests and get into a studio and record it for audio book on tape, as I used to call it. But that will probably happen next year sometime.
You probably want to get this before you go on the Joko Cruise Crazy Cruise, because you have a whole section here on boat etiquette and lore of the sea, a word of warning regarding the ocean.
now, you called the facts fake, but they're also true.
Right. They're quantum facts.
Schrodinger's fact.
Yeah. Once they're in the box of this book, you don't know whether they're alive or dead.
But they have guns.
And many you explain the myth of posh, which is not poured outbound starboard home.
No, it's put on second helicopter.
Okay. Yeah.
back in the time of, you know, luxury Atlantic crossing, you know, there's a story that the term posh, derived from a sea lining acronym, port outward starboard home, which is to say your cabin would move back and forth depending on where you were, on rollers, and thus benefit from the sun and the best views of the endless life deadening ocean. But that is in fact apocryphal. It actually stands for put on second helicopter, because you know, and it was during the first decade of the last century. You know, during the Titanic time, this was a very, very much regimented class system. So you would have first class, and then you would have steerage, and then you would have the place where the Irish hung around, right? Mm-hmm. So. And what was not known, because it was kept secret, was that for the best class of passengers, they had escape helicopters. They were obviously very rudimentary helicopters. They only went about a foot off the surface of the water. But it was better than sitting in a boat with someone who was beneath you. And they had to keep the helicopters a secret from the rest of the ship. That's why this is not largely reported. Because they were very, very fragile, and there was concern that if an ethnic person touched their membranous wings, they would just fall apart,
like an Irishman.
So they couldn't tell the Irish or the Italian people that there was a chance to survive should the ship sink. But the second helicopters were very common. There actually was another class, the POFH, put on first helicopter, but that was very, very, very super exclusive, and that's why there's usually only one there. So,
the reason I asked, and by the way, we do have some chat room questions. In fact, we'll get to one when we get back from.
I refuse to answer them.
Well, they're not for you anyway, so that's okay.
Then I'll answer them.
our chat room. Somebody in the chat room wants to know if there will be women on the cruise. So we'll answer that in just a bit. But I do want to mention audible.com, because two out of the three complete areas of knowledge books are available.
Complete world knowledge.
So you can get two-thirds of the complete world knowledge right now on audible.com, and a third soon. But that's perfect, because our deal is for two books free if you go
there
to audible.com.
You can listen to them and then complete your experience by buying the hard copy version of the book. It only exists in hard copy, hardcover, because that's going to be the most a reliable source of complete world knowledge after the collapse of civilization.
Or Ragnarok, as we call it.
And it will not, you know, we can't have an electronic edition. That'll just be wiped out by the by the Omega Pulse, you know. But I would encourage people, right now the book is half off, both at Amazon and at Barnes & Noble. And I believe it will continue to be when this airs.
Does that bode poorly for the sales of the book, or is that... I mean, has it already been remaindered?
Not at all. Even if it's half off, as long as it's in print, the knowledge counts.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's a remarkable deal for complete world knowledge, and it is my life's work, and it's the last one of these books that I'll ever write, and I think the best of the three. So I don't.
Yeah. Can I say something about your book, John?
Well, yeah. Sure. Please.
Because I think, you know, you and I have been friends for a long time, and so. I'm a little biased, I admit that, but I do think that this is the best book of the three, and I'll tell you why. All of these books, and if you haven't read them, you should read them all, because they're all great, but they start from this funny place of ridiculousness, the facts that are not real facts, and somehow impossibly, and this is the thing that is so amazing about John, somehow impossibly they come around to a kind of truth and a kind of a moving... piece of human experience that I don't think you could get to except through ridiculous fake facts. It's a very hard thing to explain, but this third book by far, I think, is the most successful at doing that. It makes you laugh, but it's also incredibly sad at the same time, which, as you know, is my favorite thing in the world.
Well, go to audible.com/twit2, sign up for the platinum account. You'll get two books, first two books, and then, as John says, you'll want the hardcover. Do you make less money on the audio? Is that why, John?
No, I don't make money on any of it.
Oh, okay. I keep getting these royalties. So it doesn't really...
I keep getting these royalty statements, and I don't know what these numbers mean.
Well, it's because you're royalty, is it?
No, believe me, I love the audiobooks and everything else. Please, everyone buy everything I've ever done.
Again and again. Audible.com/twit2. You can get them for free. But John still gets his zero royalty, even if you get it for free. So... So, we invite you. More information than you require. There you go. And the Arizona expertise. And by the way, are all the words that are in the book on the audio version?
Almost certainly yes for the first one. Areas of My Expertise was the first book.
In fact, there's singing that's not in the book.
No, in both cases, they're enhanced by me talking to other people. Mm. Jonathan Colton and Paul Rudd. On the first time, maybe forgetting some people in the second book, it's this bizarre cast of characters. It's Jonathan, it's Paul Rudd, it's Rachel Maddow, it's Dick Cavett, it's Paul F. Tompkins,
wow.
It's Zach Galifianakis.
Wow.
It was lots and lots of people. And then for the third one, I don't know. Part of the reason I haven't recorded it yet is in part that I haven't had time, and in part because I want to do something really spectacular and make it really very special.
I had assumed you'd been waiting like James Cameron for the technology to catch up with your vision, whatever that might
it's
be.
It's the 3D audiobook.
Yeah.
That'll be good. So, again, audible.com.
I want to do it on the bottom of the ocean. I'm just perfecting a submersible.
Something.
That's going to carry, that will be able to carry all of these special guest stars to the bottom, to the abyssal.
I do want to show, we'll get to this too. Let me finish this. audible.com/twit2. Try it out. You're going to love it. You can listen to it. It's wonderful. We know you're Audible fans. And listening to John read his books, because he does the performance and have Jonathan Colton and these other great people, is fantastic. By the way, Evan, who's here in the audience, brought me a little gift. He's in our studio audience today. I don't know how he knew, but that is a giant bottle of Jaeger.
Christmas miracle.
It's imported.
Oh, this is from wherever Jägermeister is made.
Yeah.
So that's pretty.
Brought to you from Edmonton. Is that what you said?
Edmonton.
Oh, very nice.
Could be.
Jaeger, Ohio.
Thank you, Evan. That's very kind of you. The fireplace has suddenly come to life. This really
that's
is
better.
It's a magic.
That's not a real fire, is it?
It's a magic evening.
Would I avoid sticking my hand in it like I am right now if it wasn't a real fire?
That's exactly right. He's learned once burned, twice shy. So, and we plugged the cruise, right? Joko Crew Cruise Crazy. Everybody should go there.
The hat's singing.
The hat's got a strange life of its own.
That is... That's something.
The way it's not merely going back and forth. There's actually that little shaky thing in there.
It's having spasms.
That's a little.
I love that you've left I love that you've left a little plastic hanger tag on in the back.
Well, it's
so
not,
you can return it after the show, and they can put it right back on the rack.
We want to return everything. Goes back at the end of the show. As you can see, the wreath 50% off.
Yeah.
Or we could just sell it here if you want. I have other hats, so that one's a little strange. There you go. Good price on that wreath, I think.
It's a nice wreath.
So you guys did a tour, Paul and Storm, last year. that was just a spectacular tour with what did you call that? You had Adam Savage on it. You had
Wootstock.
Wootstock.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And are you now? Is that done? Or are you going to do that again, or is that?
No, we actually have a couple more coming.
Because I think
we're doing one. Go ahead.
Will Wheaton was part of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's
a variety. Go ahead, Storm.
Oh, sure. It's sort of a geek vaudeville show that.
I love that.
Oh,
not minstrel though. There's no blackface involved.
Just Storm.
Sometimes
not anymore. Beard. That's just the lower part.
Okay.
It's black.
Right. This goatee is actually shoe polish. It's true, but it's not blackface.
Right.
But yeah, it pops up like mushrooms throughout the year. We have one scheduled for San Francisco. Actually, I don't know if we can publicly announce that, but we just have.
It's not super officially, but it's basically official. We are we did one at Comic-Con last year, and it went really well, and we're going to go back again this year.
No, that's
and also go ahead.
San Francisco's Comic-Con's in San Diego. San Francisco is a different place.
We are doing one in San Francisco on January 29th. We're calling it Founders Night. It's just four of us. There won't be any sort of main guest slots. All the other Republicans.
Nice way to spin it that you couldn't get anybody else to go. So it's Founders Night.
We couldn't. We were too cheap to spring for guests on that particular show.
Last year, you were at the Italian-American Friendship Hall in San Francisco, right? I think that's where
Swedish-American.
Yeah. And they're not friends.
Will you be reaching out again to our Scandinavian friends this year, or?
No, this one's going to be part of the
Marines.
The Marines Memorial Theater show
That's a good venue, actually. That's a nice big venue.
Yeah, it's part of Sketchfest.
Oh, good.
You're going to be out there right around then as well, I believe. Is that correct, Mr. Hodgman?
I will be there. But as you know, Sketchfest, the San Francisco Sketchfest, runs basically from January 19th until the next January 19th. Sketchfest events going on.
Yeah. It's a long festival.
It's a huge, big, incredible cornucopia of haha. I will only be in the city by the bay from the 19th until the 23rd, taking part in a number of things, including my own personal one man with maybe some fun guests show on the 20th.
Well, tell us about that. You do a one man show now? Is that something new?
Yeah, well, you know, with Jonathan and with Paul and Storm, and at times I've always gone and presented material from Complete World Knowledge, and it evolved over the years from basically a book reading to more of a standing up and talking. I won't call it stand-up comedy, but I'm certainly standing up most of the time, unless I'm sitting down, taking my shoes off, and talking and presenting material from the book. And in fact, Paul and Storm and I are doing it together in what are we doing it in? At the Birch
Museum.
We're going to do that together in February 10th at the Birchmere, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And that's in Alexandria, Virginia.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. But I'm sorry that I'm going to miss your Founders Night Woodstock. That sounds good.
Who else is in? Who are the other two at the Founders Night?
Well, it's Will Wheaton and Adam Savage. Along with us, those are the founders. There will be other folks, but it's not going to be a 5 to 6 hour Woodstock.
More like they usually are.
Really? Are they that long?
Well, the Pirate's Lament takes up 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
These shows are legendary, legendary length. You've never seen a show quite as long as a Woodstock.
It was very carefully phrased there, Jonathan. There was no praise whatsoever in that. It's very sort of ominous. I didn't know music like that was possible.
Especially the one where Jonathan was the co-host. That one in particular.
How much is a cabin? How much is a cabin at Woodstock?
It's a lot cheaper than the cruise, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, but they last just as long as the cruise. I don't remember what tickets. Tickets are something like $35
if you have to ask, you can't afford it. You shouldn't. There should be no.
Yeah.
Right.
Just show up. Yeah.
The longest 5 hours of my life, says Curtis B.
And that's just the last song.
I wish there were some way. We tried this before, and you can't do it because of the lag in Skype, that we could get them to do the Pirate's Lament or something like that. But you can't because they don't match up.
Mm-hmm. And maybe next year, can we all be together? Can we just plan it?
We could.
Every year. I
would love
that.
Yeah. I've never heard you say that. Maybe you said it when I wasn't listening.
Well,
maybe you were planning to get together without me.
was that it?
We're actually all in San Francisco right now, John.
Guys, they can hear you over the bleed.
Tom Merritt is right over there.
Somebody's hand is reaching into the fire. This is terrifying. That's terrifying.
That was one of my early jobs on television.
Really? Fire stoker? John Hodgman, yeah. Fire stoker.
You log stoker.
Is there
a
fire stoker union?
Well, it's all part of it's SAG-AFTRA.
Oh, it's not the International Association.
The F is for fire.
You guys, that's where I forget the books and the audio tapes. I just made $1,000 for that one shot.
Stoking.
And you guys got to pay me too. You guys got to pay me $10,000 now because you showed it on your whatever this is, internet television.
I do think that's where the term "he was stoked" comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course. But isn't this all getting so commercial, guys? Here we are plugging our things. plugging each other's things, talking about how much money I'm making from that one stoking commercial I did so long ago. That's not what the season is all about, is it?
What is the season all about? What is this?
Look at what you got there. You got all that stuff.
Booze.
What are you drinking, Paul?
What am I drinking?
Yeah, Paul.
Since I do not drink Jägermeister, I am drinking three IBC blackberry sodas.
That's not one of them hard lemonade drinks, is it?
No, it's just a soda.
No, it's just plain old soda.
Oh,
it's a Zima.
And look, yeah, so it's not, because this is, look at how fancy it is there now. Remember it last year?
It used to be in a tiny, tiny garret room, and now we've got a fire stoker.
Just people sitting on Skype getting drunk together. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's when the internet was good, right?
That's what Christmas is all
that's
about.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
That is still happening. That is still happening.
Jonathan's cardboard box has moved 3 feet. Can we get that shot of him?
Is it moving? Is it moving?
Oh, no, I just moved that from last year.
This is last year.
Take a look now.
This is last year. Now. Okay, now let's see where it is this year. It's moved over 3 feet. And the underwear is no longer on it. So that's good.
You know what? We're making progress at Colton headquarters. We're making progress. In a couple of years, those boxes are going to be all the way over there.
Now, did you have to take any outside funding for that box move? Or?
No, I actually did it. I did it myself. I'm a very DIY kind of guy. That's because the thing is, if you hire somebody to do it, they want 40%, you know? And that's not, I'm not willing to pay it. Mm-mm, so
no
I
way.
Did it myself. It was, I didn't do it very well, obviously, but.
What are you stabbing there, Josh?
He sold the underwear that was hanging out of the box last year to hire a couple of guys to move it just that far.
I'll give you this underwear if you push this box 3 feet.
I love the shot of underwear, which, as I recall, I thought was like his Buffalo Bill murder sack.
Can we say that for the record?
It was not underwear. It was not underwear. It was just some dirty rags.
That's underwear.
That's not underwear.
Do you wear dirty rags as underwear? That's disgusting.
Oh my God.
I see you've mounted your platinum cassette tape from Chant above your.
I have. I'm very proud of that.
Yeah. That was the number
that's
one
platinum,
selling
baby. Hold on, let me go get it.
Tape of Gregorian chants from 1996 or something.
Is that American or is that Yugoslavian platinum? Where I think it's Gregorian, like 10
Gregorian chants from 1996 is my Moby cover band.
Ah, I was waiting for someone people. To
wait a minute.
Jump into that game.
Where the hell did you get that?
Wait, he that actually it. Is he earned a poster it. Of chants.
Wait a minute.
To Jonathan Colton to commemorate the sale
of more than 2 million copies.
Yeah.
Wow.
What did you have to do with that album, Jonathan?
How did you sell 2 million?
I had to take a vow of silence for about 6 years.
This, according to Amazon, according to Amazon.com, this one album has sold more copies of Gregorian chants than all other Gregorian albums put together.
You know, I'll tell you what happened. When I first moved to New York City and was trying to figure out how to be a rock star, I thought it'd be a good idea to get a job at a record company just to get involved with the business. So I got a job as the assistant to somebody at this record company called Angel Records.
Which is a very good company. I mean, that's a big company.
It was a big company. It was at the time that I was working for them. It was a division of EMI,
right.
And they did classical music and crossover, adult contemporary. They did all sorts of stuff. But when I arrived, they were riding the wave of this incredible phenomenon called chant, which was essentially a 20-year-old recording of some Spanish monks singing plain chant. That they had re-released as a single disc. It was a double album. They re-released it as a single disc with that fancy cover of the monks floating in the blue sky, and it's sold 2 million copies, and nobody really knew why. And it was the kind of crazy
It was the craziest introduction to the record business, because it was like, hey, you wrote some pop songs. Great. Well, here's this 20-year-old recording of some Spanish monks that accidentally sold 2 million copies.
See what you can do, kid. Yeah, see what you can do with that.
And this is what piracy can take away from us.
Yeah, yeah. I knew what to do with that thing. Cut it in half and make them float in the sky. I knew that was going to work. I knew it was wrong with that thing, and I fixed it.
The Amazon.com description says, thanks to good marketing, good cover art, and good luck, this disc has probably sold more copies than most other recordings of Gregorian Chant put together. It is often quipped that most of these discs has been listened to exactly once and put away, to the puzzlement of many musicians and critics who point out there are more beautiful, there are more varied performances by professional singers available. If this recording, ahem, I don't know. I don't know. I've never heard Amazon editorialize like this. If this recording, ahem, enchants you at first, wonderful. If you get bored with it later, don't give up. There have been an extraordinary variety of styles and sounds over the 1,500-year history of plain chant, so go listen to some other stuff. You won't be sorry.
Yeah.
So suddenly they're shilling Gregorian chant, you know, because something became popular.
Yeah. I probably bought this. I hate to say it.
But I know it was in our house.
You know, at the height of the insanity, the president of the label came into one of the weekly meetings and told a story. He said he went down to Tower Records, which was a store where they sold records.
Yes.
Those
were the days, yeah.
He went to check out, you know, where it was placed in the store and sort of see what was happening. And he was just sort of loitering around, and he saw somebody go up to the counter and ask the person, hey, do you have that record Chant? And the person behind the counter said, we're sold out right now, but we'll be getting some in a couple of days. And the guy said, oh, God, fantastic, because I really need it. I really need it. By the way, what is it?
I really need it.
So it's kind of Rebecca iPad Black, is what you're saying.
Exactly. That was exactly what the label president wanted to hear, is that people were buying it even though they had no idea what it was.
And that's what the internet's taken away from us.
Well, Jonathan Colton does have a new album. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit, and where to get it as the plug fest continues. maybe a little later on, we'll get to the spirit of Christmas. Just, you know.
I doubt it.
A little. Probably not. It's a thought. We're aimed at that. But I do want to talk a little bit about Ford Motor Company and something that, you know, it's hard to take seriously with these guys back here behind me making faces, but especially since your fire seems to have suddenly been reduced to the size of a YouTube video. But I guess
it's still warm, though.
We're going to restart the fire. Can we restart the fire? Meanwhile,
didn't restart the fire.
That's Billy Joel, yeah. Super. Wait, here comes a super 8-bit fireplace. This will be nice. Well, there you go. Look at that.
Oh, that's better.
Whoa. Thank you. Yeah.
That is warming. Warming, warming. Meanwhile, let's take a ride in the Ford vehicles. I think this was the Focus that we had last week, and show you a little bit about how Wi-Fi works in these new 2012 Ford Focuses. Take a look.
So we're back at the Twit Brick House, and I have a volunteer. Michael, see, when you go on a long car trip, nice to have something for the kids to do. I brought a little laptop. I got my iPhone. He's got his iPad. But what about the Wi-Fi? Oh, no problem. I brought along my Wi-Fi access spot, a.k.a. my Ford Focus. So, Michael, hop in here. You get in that side. I'm going to get in this side. I'm going to show you how I can use this USB Wi-Fi dongle or 3G dongle to turn this into a Wi-Fi access spot. When you travel with kids, as you know, it's really nice to have some entertainment for them. They like to get online. Maybe they want to surf the web or do a little email, play some games. Ford's realized that getting connected inside your car is a big deal. That's why they have added Wi-Fi access capability to the 2012 Ford Focus. Let me show you how it works. I take this, this is a Virgin Mobile, but a lot of companies make these. It's a USB 3G transmitter. Now, normally you plug this into the computer and the computer is online, but what if we have more than one device? We can get up to 5 devices online by plugging this into the Focus Now that is going to turn the whole car into an access spot. So now Michael can put his iPad on the Wi-Fi in the car. I can put my iPhone on the Wi-Fi in the car. Up to five devices. I even have one of these Google Chromebooks, which likes having a little Wi-Fi so it can get online. And here I go. I just connect it up, find the Wi-Fi access spot, pick it, put in the password, and I'm online. I love this. As we drive down the highway, everybody's happy. Thank you, Ford. One of the many nice features in the Ford Focus for 2012, and of course, available on other Ford vehicles. Why don't you go to your Ford dealer and drive one today? Or visit the website, ford.com/technology. You ready to go? All right, let's hit the road.
But Michael never said one word that whole time.
Well, then again, because under SAG, you would have had to pay him.
Exactly,
that point.
John. You knew what was going on. So this is kind of exciting. This is your eighth studio album, Jonathan Colton, and John Flansburgh, a fellow Brooklynite, produced this. How did that happen? Of They Might Be Giants.
Yes. I've been a fan of theirs for a long time. I met them in person a couple of times, probably through John Hodgman, who of course was the deranged millionaire when they did the Venue Songs thing, and I had been the guy creepily hanging around backstage at a couple of shows, and then Paul and Storm and I did the show in Chicago that was scheduled opposite They Might Be Giants show, also in Chicago, the same night, and they were doing Flood. And oh, we boy. Thought it would be fun mm-hmm. to do our own Flood show. So we actually learned the yeah. entire album,
oh,
Flood.
My God.
And the three of us played it. And I wrote Flansburgh. I emailed Flansburgh to make sure they weren't going to be angry at us.
Like
for
you're
doing
trying
that.
To steal all their fans, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, at some point after that, they asked me to open for them, which I did for a few shows. And at the end of that run, John Flansburgh approached me and said, "Hey, you know, what are you doing right now? And maybe we should make an album together." So he was the producer on this record. And
wow, that's cool.
It was great. It was a great experience, and it's kind of a dream come true. You know, I keep having to pinch myself.
But had you worked with a producer before? I mean, you've done it all yourself, haven't you?
I have done it all myself in my home studio, and you know, it was so great because I've been rattling around inside my own head for so long that it was really nice to share some of the burden with somebody else and to collaborate with somebody and to be able to say yes to other people's ideas instead of just my ideas. So it was a really, really fulfilling experience and a lot of fun. And, I hope we'll do more.
Songs like Je Suis Rick Springfield.
Je Suis Rick Springfield.
Sucker yeah, Punch. And yeah. The Stash, which I'm sure is in honor of Mr. Hodgman's, luxuriant growth.
It might as well be. I am such a fan of that mustache. You know, I know that if you are used to Hodgman without the mustache and then you see a picture, God, look at that. That's remarkable.
Now, do you wax that, John?
No. It just has natural masculine texture.
If you twirl it enough, you might as well have waxed it because the oil from your hands has filled it with grease.
Yes, everything that is wrong with me has been fixed by this mustache.
And
it took me a long... Oh, there you go. Problem solved.
He's hitting the crystal head. All right.
A little ghost of Christmas future for you.
Whoa. You know, I think that when you wear the red bandana, it looks like you're about to run the bulls at Pamplona.
running the bulls in Williams.
Yeah, well,
it's the running of the baristas.
The running of the baristas. I like it. Well,
it be
good.
Great
so
if all the hipsters in Williamsburg just started riding horses around all the time, if that was the trend.
Instead of bulls,
like it became like the Wild West. And instead of fixed gear bicycles, they just started riding horses. And they had to before going to drink at their local watering hole, they had to tie up their horse at their hitching post.
And if they all had handlebar mustaches, the picture would be complete. Yeah.
Well, they already do have the handlebar mustaches. They all look like bartenders in an old-timey saloon to begin with. So they should ride some horses.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. So according to Wikipedia, Jonathan, you performed many of these songs live before the album was released, and fans compiled a bootleg called Artificial Heart before the studio album. Is that true?
That's right. They did. Yeah, that's a sort of classic Jonathan Colton fan activity.
They stole from me. Ha, ha, ha.
He laughs.
Now I'm lobbying for the SOPA Act.
I do believe, in fact, he's a SOPA supporter, aren't you? I think you are.
He's a SOPA supporter.
I love SOPA. You know why? Because it protects... It protects... I can't even do it. I can't even say it.
Not even with a straight face. He can't do it.
I can't even come up with a reason why it might be good. That's how terrible it is.
It protects us from secure DNS. And that's something
right.
we all
We don't
agree.
Need IPsec. Who does? No, actually...
It protects us from free speech.
In many ways, you are... Yes.
Free speech can be very unsettling.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous.
In many ways, you are the poster child for somebody who doesn't hold on tight to what he makes and yet is able to make a living selling it unaccountably, given that anything that you have done is available for free pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, well, honestly, people really do want to support the artists that they like. You know, I feel this way. You know,
I'm sure that everybody who bought Artificial Heart bought Artificial Heart as well.
Yeah, well, I'm sure because they are different versions.
Yeah,
and they're fans exactly, and they know they understand the transaction. They understand that if they spend money on the music, it makes it more likely for me to have money to make the next batch of music that I need to make. It just makes sense.
And artificial heart.
Eventually, you reach an audience that is so large, Jonathan, that they're not going to have that direct connection with you anymore. And that's when they start stealing from you, when they don't understand that their money is going directly to you, and they just pretend, he's going to be successful no matter what.
Is that what's happened to you, John Hodgman?
No, I never had the first thing, so I don't know what happened. And actually, you know what? I don't mean to accuse Jonathan of anything. I think that it's really interesting how scalable it is. I may have been more skeptical, but Jonathan's audience is getting larger and larger.
I think it's scalable.
And I think what happens is that while you can't necessarily keep the direct kind of, like, I'm answering every email relationship that you have with fans at the beginning of a career that really gets them invested in the career and gets them feeling connected, there is something that's great about independent music and writing and other distribution on the internet, which is that people are beginning to get savvy and understand that the dollar that they spend on that piece of work that you have put out yourself is going to go to you. And the place where they get callous is when they realize that 90% of that dollar is going to go to an international corporation that doesn't care about them.
I agree.
And at that point, they're like, I might as well steal this.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you look at the example of Louis C.K. You know, I mean, he's got a massive audience. And he just did this $5 comedy special that was also... you know, available for people to get for free. And so he posted the numbers and they were enormous.
They're up
he
made even now. Amounts. They're up even more now. They're $750,000 he's made so far.
I would argue that people actually don't even see it as stealing. It's not a vengeful thing in a lot of cases. It's just the way the internet
That's where
works.
It is.
And so if they have a direct connection, they're like, oh, well, hey, I want Jonathan to make more stuff. So how can I'm going to investigate how to support him. But if it's other people that they see as millionaires or part of the system, they don't feel a responsibility to have to dig in.
Tom Merritt.
Yeah, and I really
that's stealing, though. That's stealing. I mean, let's be fair. If someone thinks that they're too rich to not notice what you're taking from them, That's stealing.
Well, I'm saying that they're not doing it vengefully. You can argue the semantics of whether it's stealing or not, but I don't think people think of it as stealing. They just go do it.
Somebody, I can't remember who it was who posted this, but somebody posted something interesting about a comment that you see a lot on YouTube, and you can kind of tell it's like 12 and 13-year-old kids who are writing this. They'll post a video that's a, you know, a static photo of an album cover.
Right.
With a song, and they'll say in the description, no copyright infringement. No copyright infringement intended. Which is like
we did it. It's like when somebody. It's like when somebody says, "No offense, but you're an ignorant whore." It's like, no offense, okay, but. You know.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and
except
the good
interesting
news
thing about it is that's how people think of it.
Right.
When they say that, what they mean is this is not really infringing anything. This is totally cool. This happens all the time.
We're trying to have
and they're
fun.
Kind of,
we're
they're kind of
fun.
Right.
Yeah, we're not trying to take money away from anyone when we do this.
And it's very likely that nobody would listen to that in lieu of, if they wanted the track, buying the track. Now, I do have to say, one of the negatives of Artificial Heart, the fan bootleg, is it is missing the critical Je Suis Rick Springfield cut. So you have to buy the actual album.
I actually bought the deluxe Artificial Heart, which gets me T-shirts and
that's awesome.
I think a tapas plate made by Jonathan and like all kinds of stuff.
You know what I'd be more offended by, and actually I want to ask you about this, Jonathan, is that I don't have to buy it. I listen to it on Spotify. Do you get anything if I listen to it on Spotify?
Spotify is a terrible side effect of enormous labels. What has happened is that Spotify negotiated with the big labels because they need that content in their library, and they were sort of over a barrel, and so they had to give a specific decent rate to those big labels. At the expense of everybody else in the world. So when you listen to my music on Spotify, if
and
you play my song
all
on
of
Spotify,
it's there. Almost all of it's there.
Almost all of it's there. You will, if you one spin of one of my songs on Spotify, I think earns me 0.007 cents. Whereas if you're on a major label, I think you get 3 cents. It's an enormous disparity. Spotify is not great for the entire ecosystem of independent musicians.
I think people need to know that because I think that people believe that or understand that if I listen to Jonathan Colton on YouTube with a still of him, okay, he's not getting any money out of that. That's not really supporting Jonathan. But I'm listening into it in a legitimate service like Spotify. There it is, Artificial Heart, including Je Suis Rick Springfield. And that must be legitimate. It's got the album art. It's got his name. I think you need to. People need to get the word out that.
Well, you know, it's. I mean, it is. It is legitimate. You know, I. It's my decision whether or not to have it there, and I choose to have it there.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Why?
Well, you know, I think that. First of all, I'm always willing to experiment with these things. Nobody knows how long services like Spotify are going to last. I mean, it's still unclear if they're going to be a viable business if they can actually make money doing this. I recognize that it's a big place that people go to discover music as well as listen to music. I operate under the theory that if you listen to my music for free, it can only benefit me down the line because you'll come to a show, you'll buy a T-shirt, you'll buy the fancy, super fancy box that Tom Merritt bought. You know, somewhere down the road.
To some degree, I don't mean to interrupt you, Jonathan, but I feel like you've discovered another thing that I never would have been able to predict, which is if you are a sole proprietor putting your stuff out there, you, like an old-fashioned record album, are going to have to presume a certain amount of theft, of loss, of people taking it for free who aren't going to give you the money. And therefore, you give an opportunity to people who are really committed to your career to buy something premium that you're willing to give them. In this case, the box of stuff and everything else. And that's, I think, part of the system as well, or part of the new math as well, is that there's...
What is the new math?
Got to be
premium
level.
Agreed.
By the way, every time John Hodgman freezes, we all have a drink of Jaeger. That's, I believe,
is
the
that,
game.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
Or Crystal Head.
I want to know the secret.
It doesn't matter. Right? It isn't that important. It's not. Nobody really needs to know that. I'll tell you what I need to know, and then we're going to let John go because he's got it. We have an out hard out time for John. You have a video, and I want to play it a little later on Funny or Die for the book That Is All, which is your new tome. That's third in the trilogy of the entire world's knowledge. And in that video,
everything you have said is accurate.
Pardon me?
Everything you have said is accurate.
Thank you. I just it's good to have the continued reassurance as I go, because there will be many more facts, and I don't want to. It would be hard to go back and repair them all. So just as I go, if I say anything wrong, just let me know. You have in the video a surprisingly large number of very famous people, and they're all sitting in a room in your mansion.
Yes.
How the hell did you get those people to do that? They don't even get much time on camera. They're there for like that.
Well, the video was directed by Tom Sharpling, who is a brilliant comedian and a really brilliant broadcaster. He does a radio show. In fact, that's where I'm going tonight. He does a live terrestrial radio show on WFMU in Jersey City, called The Best Show on WFMU, and it's podcast, and you
must
look it up.
That must piss off the rest of the guys on WFMU no end.
No, but they know.
It is the best show.
Tom is a comic genius who hosts this amazing call-in show where people call in, and every night he just interacts with people in the most amazing, hilarious way, and characters emerge, and it's terrific. And he sells comedy albums with his partner, John Worster, who is the drummer in the band Superchunk under the label Sharpling and Worster. And he also is a director of music videos. So I had this idea to do a video using this song by They Might Be Giants, based on this character that we created for one of their previous projects, The Deranged Millionaire. And Tom was the director. And he had this idea, since celebrity cameos are becoming so common in music videos and book trailers and that sort of thing, he said, we should get everyone we know. Just reach out and ask every favor we've ever, you know, cash in on every favor we've ever done and get as many famous people as possible and put them in one room and just have the camera scan by them such that your character, the deranged millionaire, doesn't even care.
Yeah.
That Brooke Shields and Jack McBrayer and Scott Adsit and John Lutz from 30 Rock and Questlove from The Roots and Vernon Reid from Living Color and Dick Cavett and Justin Long and all sorts of other incredible people who gave their time up to just sit there and have the camera just waft over them briefly. It was the greatest. It was one of the
amazing
things of my life.
Well, yeah. You know, I realize we can't, in fact, play it. Because if we do, Funny or Die, we'll pull this entire show off the air.
So is that true?
Yes.
Yes, it is true, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So
I didn't think it was supposed to be exclusive anymore to Funny or Die. It may that exclusivity is going to go away, and I'm going to look into it and make sure that you have a special permission from me,
good,
the deranged millionaire, to show this thing as much as crazy as possible.
That's all I need from you, John Hodgman. We will, for that reason, we will append it shortly after the commercial, which is impending. But and I'm going to let you go because you have to go to the best show, a better show than this show, in fact.
No, not in the least. I wish I could sit around here and talk to you about the important things about distribution of self-produced content over the internet.
We got a little serious there, and it was really a lull, so I want to move on. That Is All is the book. It is available now. Get it on Audible. Get the other books on Audible and get this book at Amazon or better bookstores, where, in fact, it has been remaindered and is cheap right now, only half the cost of other books. Is that right?
They have it on sale along with a lot of other books.
Okay. I'm just
teasing.
That
came out at the same time as mine.
Oh, he's a little defensive now.
Or 50%. Well, I don't want to say that it's been remaindered. It has not been remaindered. You're not going to buy it for $2.99 at the Strand. That will be next week.
But they tore the front cover off, right?
Yes. Before they threw it
in the dumpster, yeah.
It has been spindled and mutilated.
John Hodgman, thank you so much for joining us. Areas of myexpertise.com.
We will get Cthulhu Miss.
Merry Christmas to you. It's wonderful. Happy Ragnarok. We'll see you in 2012, right before the end of the world.
The end of the world.
Take care. We are going to continue on. In fact, we'll play that video for you in just a bit. Before we do, though, I want to mention our friends at squarespace.com. Just down the road a piece from you guys. In beautiful Manhattan. They have a lovely office there.
I just made a Squarespace site while we were sitting here. Yeah.
What's it called?
It's go on jococruise.squarespace.com.
It's probably a better app for the cruise than we just heard.
I did it on my iPad while we were talking.
Wow. So the idea, I should not, it was a mistake. I just did something that was stupid.
You put candy in your mouth while you were trying to do an ad.
I started a commercial, and then I couldn't resist the candy made by nuns in Mississippi.
I saw you doing it. It was like slow motion.
No, not a good idea. These are very hard to eat fast.
But they're tasty.
Why are you talking about Squarespace?
Go on jococruz.squarespace.com if we can get that up. Essentially, like I said, I made it on my iPad. So you can just sit on an
iPad.
That's
pretty amazing that you did that.
And make a website like that. No credit card required. Nothing. It looks professional. It looks quality. I'm not saying the writing is great, but that's all up to me. That's not that up to Squarespace.
You misspelled sandwich for one thing.
No, that's an alternative.
That's easy to fix.
Actually, that must be autocorrect. That's how iOS. I misspelled sandwich.
It says more reasons to go on the cruise. You can order a sandwich delivered to your room any time of the day, possibly delivered by a monkey butler.
Possibly. I'm not guaranteeing.
We're not saying it's the most beautiful site I've ever seen.
No, but it's clean. That is a blog page. You can add media to your post. So, yeah, but, I threw it together quickly on an iPad. Imagine what you can do if you actually mean to
make
a site.
Were you bored? Is that why you did that?
I wanted to plug
awesome.
The cruise again.
That's really great.
And the monkey butler.
Sandwich.
But, yeah, I mean, I could go in here and I could make all kinds of posts. It looks better on my iPad, frankly. Look at that. See?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does. So the deal is you sign up. You go to squarespace.com. You press that try it free button. And that's all you
did. That's it. I made the name of the site.
You don't need a credit card or anything. There it is. Try it free. You just need the name, password, and email. Now, if you decide after 2 weeks, and you get all the features, by the way, you could put the social media. You could probably put their Twitter feeds in there, their Flickr account from the last cruise, put some of those pictures there. I mean, you could dress this up, obviously. And there's all sorts of nice features. But if you decide after 2 weeks you want to keep it, easy.
Yeah.
Squarespace.com.
You get a discount from us.
You get 30% off for the first 3 months of your account if you use the offer code TWIT12. TWIT.
TWIT12.
TWIT12. Hey, a crazy boy used TWIT12.
Today.
Squarespace.com. And give it a try. We really, these guys are great. They've done a great job. It's hosting plus the best software ever. And you saw how easily that Tom did that, even on an iPad. They have great iPad software and Android software, too, for posting.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And this wasn't even the app. This was just in the browser.
Right.
The app gives you all kinds of other qualities that you can use, like adding different kinds of widgets and Twitter feeds. And
so we have taken, this is amazing, the technology. Sounds like the elves got into the Jaeger, I think.
Storm is putting down his tin cup. He had gone out to beg earlier.
The amazing technology.
I have my Jaeger bowl. So it's
that's where the ice is.
Ice.
It is so important, I think, to ice your Jaeger.
The traditional Jaeger bowl, of course.
It is. Every year, we break out the Jaeger bowl.
If we all move cameras and I go... So wait, which way?
Oh, no.
Do we have the rights for that?
It's a beautiful night, and they call it Bella Notte.
Is he playing that on the Jaeger bottle? No.
Okay. I don't know what's happening.
It's a poignant.
Storm, you're cut off.
Poignant sound.
Wow. Just being poignant, that's all.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Everyone's got one. Do you have one in the box, Jonathan?
Ooh, that's neat. What is that?
Can we get the food shot? Storm, stop playing for a second. If we all lean closer to our cameras, and then I go this way.
Okay, because they all got glasses.
Here we go. Now, lean closer.
All right, we got.
We can make one face.
Okay, one nose, only one nose. There you go. Closer.
Storm's taking up all the
Storm,
face.
Coming closer.
High concept.
Closer, yeah. I know where you're going. I know where you're going with this. No.
Too close.
Nose in the middle. And you want, there you go. There, now we're getting there. And, of course, it works well because you guys all look the same.
Nose in the middle is my face's cover band, by the way.
Oh,
too tiring. Too much physical exertion for me. I can't do it.
Multiple storms.
Boy, Hodgman leaves and it all goes to hell.
Yeah, was he really the restraining wall?
Yeah, he was. Yes, he was.
You guys are all scared of him, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's the truth.
A little bit.
So has Artificial Heart been selling well? Has it been doing well?
It has. You know, I did the pre-sales thing with the box and the special editions and the signed copies and everything. So before it was even released, I sold enough to cover the expenses of the album and make a little bit of a profit. And then it's been selling really well. I hired a publicist and some more traditional stuff this time around just to see what would happen.
Oh,
because, you know, I'm a scientist.
Right.
And one of the interesting things that happened was my team said, hey, how come you don't have big numbers on SoundScan? And I said, yeah, I never report to SoundScan. SoundScan is the Nielsen company that where the numbers come from for the Billboard charts. And they said, well, you know, you should maybe report just to see what would happen, because if things line up with the touring and the shipping of pre-sales and the release, you could get a relatively big number. And we did that, and it ended up actually charting on Billboard, which was crazy. It was
like three different charts.
Well, yeah, it was the number one Heat Seeker one week, which I that's like the
that's
the,
like with the, a bullet. The, that's the with a bullet thing, right?
That means it actually is looking to destroy humans.
it targets a heat signature and tries to destroy it. And then it was like number 23 on the album chart or something.
Wow.
It was sort of nuts. For me, it was kind of, I don't know. I mean, I really just never had reported before because I figured, you know, I wasn't going to make a dent there, but just goes to show you how much the music industry is kind of in the toilet right now.
Well, you know, no, I don't think so at all. When you sent the newsletter explaining that, I had a revelation. I'm like, I wonder how many other successful independent musicians are out there that aren't reporting to SoundScan and what that would do to the total digital music number. Everybody says, oh, digital music's in the toilet. It's not making up the difference. I still don't think it would make up all the difference, but I think the sales would appear stronger if we had better reporting.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a lot of dark matter out there in terms of the economy of the music business.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, who knows what's really happening? And that Spotify, the numbers in Spotify are a great example. I think that right now there's an overemphasis on the mainstream acts and the big label acts, whereas there's a lot of actual economy happening in the independent space, and we just don't see all of it, I think. It's kind of an interesting point.
Paul and Storm, do you participate in this kind of highly commercial activity?
We're economying the crap out of the world right now. Yes.
Yes. It's a sad, sad thing, isn't it? How's that?
I have been living for about 5 minutes. What are you talking about?
How's that Thanksgiving song doing? Did that do well? Was that the big hit of Thanksgiving this year round?
It did do well for us. It really did. So we still haven't. We're not sure if it's reached George Lucas yet and had its real intended effect. It had nothing to do with the commercial aspect. It had to do with restoring the Star Wars franchise.
It was a heat seeker.
For those of us who don't know what the hell you're talking about, what does Thanksgiving have to do with George Lucas?
Paul?
Well, the song, it was originally intended to be a sort of a semi-serious rumination, if you will, about Thanksgiving and the things that we are thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
And it kept on circling back to asking whatever deity or deities are out there to tell George Lucas to stop effing with the trilogy.
as we all agree, is the right thing to... Yeah, I mean, I think that's a high
and
right
I,
after
I
SOPA.
Decided, no, fight, thought he'd just... gotta love technology.
Oh, Skype is just killing.
You hear me? It's Skype. It's just destroying me here.
Skype.
But anyway, yeah, so it just kept going back to that, and I figured rather than try and fight that tendency, why not embrace it? and that's where the song came from, is it just...
So how will you know if it's...
hammers
that joke. How will you know if it's achieved its effect?
When the original Star Wars is released on Blu-ray without all of the edits.
Uh-huh.
That's how we know. That's how we know.
And you agree, Tom, that that is something to be devoutly
Somebody, I can't remember who said it in the chat room. Oh, Gordon McLeod said it. I don't mind if Lucas wants to change the trilogy to his heart's content, but give us access to the original versions as well.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And the point that we try... Go ahead. I'm sorry, Storm. I interrupted your rant.
No, it's cool. You're on the same rant, so rant away, my friend.
Well, no, I was going to say the point we was trying to make, because, you know, it would have been an okay song, but it would have been a very trite song if it just said, stop screwing because you're, you know, molesting my childhood, whatever it is people always say on internet comments sections. But the greater point I thought was that, as it says in the song, is in its own way, it's just a snapshot of the time in which it was made. And... you know, as you say, you know, it's one thing to try and change it after the fact, but you shouldn't do that and then completely ignore the existence of the original version, because if that original version obviously meant something to a great many people, and you should honor that fact and keep that version available. It's as we say, song. You know, there's lots of lyrics on a lot of songs that we've written that listening to. After the fact, you wish you could change. I'm betting Jonathan probably feels the same way, but it's not like we go back to the masters and then, you know, fix a lyric or re-record a line and eliminate all evidence of the original recording of it. It's just, it was there, and it was what we, at the time, and you have to just, I think, accept that fact and move on.
You have to admit, though, Star Wars literally does not make sense without the scene where Han Solo steps on Jabba the Hutt's tail. It's the funniest thing. Oh my god, it's so funny, and it doesn't even make sense without that. It's like, why is Jabba the Hutt so angry? Obviously, because Han Solo stepped on his tail.
Right,
and it's like, it's the funniest thing.
So you're saying Lucas took that out? Like that was a mistake?
No, that's in. That's in the digitally enhanced version.
It's put in
because he originally shot the scene with a guy. So when he put it in later, it was a deleted scene. When he put it in, he put a digitally created Jabba the Hutt. But Han walks behind the guy,
and he
wouldn't be able to do that.
Forgive me for not being up on the canon. I'm from France. I don't know these things.
I'm just saying, when I was 7 years old and I saw Star Wars, I was like, that was okay. But, like, why wasn't there anybody stepping on Jabba the Hutt's tail?
Why is Jabba so mad at Han Solo?
Yeah, there's no backstory. So now we know, thanks to George.
Why isn't there a Han Solo magically levitating up suddenly as he walks over Jabba the Hutt's tail?
But he just can't do that. You can't release a movie and then go back and reach into people's heads and say, no, that didn't count. You know, that wasn't it. Just rip that out of your memory somehow.
Yeah.
Place it.
Yeah.
Well, next he'll be colorizing it and stuff like that. I don't think that
was the heck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was in color?
Yeah, he'll be black and white typing.
He'll be black and white-izing it?
He'll be noiring it, I think they call it.
The noir Star Wars. Well,
Star Wars.
We've run out of Jaeger and caramels, so I think it's time to wrap this puppy up. JocoCruiseCrazy.com. If you want to go on the cruise, it's not too late. February 19th, the boat leaves, and you should be on it. Otherwise, you'll be getting awfully wet. Paul and Storm... we'll be bringing Woodstock to San Francisco January 29th at the place where the Marines hang out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. Part of Sketchfest. And I know that John Hodgman will be there for Sketchfest, too. I don't know how to help him plug that because he's unaccountably left us. But I do have his book somewhere. Yeah, it's gone. Buy the book.
We sold it.
It was such a deal, I sold it.
Oh, there it is. It's under the caramels.
That is all. Artificial Heart, also at Jonathan's site, Joco. You sell on the site, right, Joco.com?
I do, JonathanColton.com.
JonathanColton.com. And can you still get the special package deal that Tom got?
No, that was a limited time offer, although if you have ordered it, you have not received it yet. So technically,
you haven't got it yet.
I wasn't going to mention that part.
He's still making the t-shirts.
I appreciate that, Tom. It's been much more complicated than I thought.
In that case,
what?
Storm are selling similar packages.
Yes, really. Just put some crap in there and
Never mind.
Skype has once again ruined a good joke, but that's just what we're used to around here.
George Lucas. He's blocking the
thing. It's George Lucas. I love the train going by you every 3 seconds. It's wonderful. The fire has changed many times. Tom Merritt, what are you doing for the holidays? What are your plans? Are you going to stay at home or are you going to back to Illinois?
No, I'm staying at home. I'll probably sit around and not read tech news every morning.
Won't that be
for a week?
Lovely respite?
Maybe put on pants.
Will be nice.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. How about you, Mr. Jonathan Colton? What are your Christmas plans?
I'm going to begin my odyssey to various Northeast states, visiting parents and in-laws.
Just traveling. All right.
It's just family. It's not work.
Not performing. Oh, good. Okay. Well, I wish you a very happy holiday with you and your family. Mr. It looks like we've lost. I don't know what's going on with Paul, but...
Paul, can you hear us? Paul, are you there?
Yes. Is it me?
Yes, we can hear you. Paul, what is your last Christmas wish before we lose you forever?
I'm here. I'm alive.
He's fallen down a mine.
I'm alive. Merry Christmas. I'm going to spend my Christmas holiday bashing this cable modem with a hammer.
Okay, well, Paul's coming to us from the 1930s, apparently. and Storm's gone completely, so there you go.
Wait.
Oh, no, there
he is.
Right,
oh, good.
Right,
all right.
Sir.
Okay.
Right here.
What are you planning for the holidays, Mr. Storm?
Going up to the in-laws in Cape Cod. Going to have
fun.
A fine time. Yeah, going to Christmas it down big time.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, have a wonderful holiday, all of you. All of you at home watching. I wish you the best. We thank you for joining us for our yearly TWIT special, our holiday special, with such great people like John and Paul and Storm and, of course, Tom Merritt. Have a great holiday. We will see you in the new year with lots more TWIT from all of us at the TWIT Brick House, our brand new home, and our cozy fire and Jägermeister-infested house. We wish you a happiest of holidays. Did you notice the Festivus pole, by the way? It was such a gaudy set. The Festivus pole just really didn't stand out at all, yeah. Did it? You can hardly
tell. It does not add a lot.
But we aired our grievances, and that's what's important.
We did. That's what matters. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next
time.
Bye-bye.
I'm back.
Another twist is in the can. Bye, guys.